Williams tends to solidify around the unicorn figure at the end. Do you know what I mean? So that the beauties of the world, which involve the unicorn and the beautiful tapestries at the cloisters, the virgin figure and the little flowers and all of that, that he identifies with the inseminating force. And what happens with the female figures in Patterson is that somehow either they are not inseminatable, they rebuff his, what he's willing to give, or they are, you know, that's where the lesbian thing becomes very, very funny, because the Patterson figure is trying to make it with the Phyllis figure and is also being rebuffed. But somehow the inseminating force becomes the finale of a lot of what Williams is doing. And that's extremely interesting thematically and from a gender perspective. You can see it, but it's always undone by the plethora of the world. And it's really in plethora that the excitement of this work is. Do you know, he can't contain it. The whole thing is uncontainable. He can only act within it, which is a little bit the notion of maleness in this. He tries to act within it and help it out, you know, not have divorce, quote unquote, which is a thematics, not a fact of deracination, waste. The pictures of waste in America are unbelievable in this. It's just chilling. A lot of destruction is being limbed from old documents. That is, he's quoting old documents. All right, so to pass to the question of collage and shapeshifting, I mean, it's very exciting the way that the metamorphic that is inhabiting lots of subject positions, which he does, including very movingly class subject positions, and the collage go together, because he becomes the deep inhabitant of everything in this work, which is extremely powerful, actually. And, you know, what he does is he hears these voices, which are class, mainly often very class-marked voices. People, you know, pissed off because he's had to have their dog put down because the dog bit him. Well, he bit me, you know. Well, he never harmed anybody else. You know, this kind of neighbor, hostile neighbor conversation, and many, many, many things where he is really a wanderer, and as if entering the spaces of a vast variety of people, really, in this work. And it's quite exciting, really a kind of identification, almost a losing of the self, which is a lot like the great essay that he writes in his autobiography called The Practice, which is his practice as a physician, where he's practicing constantly to hear the deepest things in their lives, in the lives of the people around him. And the ethics of that is really large. That is, it's really a poetical act in Joan Retallack's terms. So I kind of disagree with not liking it, but not liking it means you've caught on to one part of it. And that's a fair gesture. Nobody can have an overview. It's a very rare reader that doesn't get sort of annoyed at something, especially, and it's very easy to get annoyed with something about women in Williams, but it's also easy to see, for example, I mean, there's a double thing. There's Marie Curie, and Marie Curie, whose stubbornness in keeping on going back to this distillation of tons of, you know, crapola into radium, which is what, you know, the act was. It was where she finds it luminous. That's the key, you know, moment in Patterson. Nonetheless, as I point out in Pink Guitar, a lot of these women don't ever speak, and Marie Curie has no voice. That is, she is the avatar of the poetics, the digging down through the pitch blend, which is what it was called to find uranium, the luminous element. But it's Williams who voices that. So you can have, he has a lot of contradictions around gender materials in this. So your student who, you know, got really annoyed is picking up one half of those contradictions. Mm-hmm.